Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. These folks have been on the road. Come on up, Brother John, and is Nellie going to sing with you? Y'all come on up. I don't know where all they've been, but it'd probably be easier to make a list of places they haven't been, because they've been just about everywhere, I think, in the last little while. And we love the Flanagan.
Well, even if he won't, he's able. Even if he don't, he can. But still, if he will, we'll still be thrilled. No, and even if he won't, he's able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young Jewish lads, locked up in the prison at Babylon, their faith was all they had. The king made an image and gave command that all should worship him. These three boys stayed true to the Lord, knowing God could deliver them. Said, even if he won't, he's able. Even if he don't, he can. But still, if he will, we'll still be thrilled, knowing even if he won't, he's able. The Apostle Paul that we read about, in prison like the Hebrew kids, he knew all things worked together for good. Let me tell you now what he did. He wrote 14 books in the Bible, teaching hope in all of them. Though down in the deep, dark dungeon, still God was using him. Knowing even if he won't, he's able. Even if he don't, he can. But still, if he will, we'll still be thrilled. Knowing even if he won't, he's able. Now my heavenly father, he's a millionaire, owns everything in town. When the going gets rough and a little bit thin, it's good to know he's around. Here's all about my troubles, even when I'm doing good. He may never rain me down a million, but it's good to know he could if he would.
So good to have Tori and Riley here. I want to visit with them a minute before they sing. Where do you folks live?
In
Georgia? What's your dad and mom's name?
Johnny and Sandra.
Johnny and Sandra. Now, Sandra grew up in this church, and I'll tell you a little story, girls. When your mom was a little girl, one day my wife was working with a group of young people over here on a children's program, and she told me, she said, God has given Central Baptist Church a gift. And she says, I want you to come tomorrow and see and hear the gift. And says, it's a little girl named Sandra. And your mom sang, and we heard her sing, and oh, we just said, what a gift from God. And your mama blessed this church, and we've always loved your mama. And when your mama was going to marry that rascal that you call daddy, you know, you call him daddy, what she didn't know, and of course Martha knew it, Martha checked him out, and I called up there. We did an investigation on your daddy. Did you know that? And he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He wears a white hat. And your daddy was serving the Lord long before you sweet folks even come along. And everybody that I talked to up there, your daddy's daddy, your granddaddy, has been in ministry all for years and years and years. He's a minister. And the Lord has used him. But every church I talk to, everybody that I call, I think I reported this to Martha at the time, when we checked him out, said, oh, he's a wonderful Christian man. And so that's the only way we let that rascal, your daddy, come down here and steal your mama and take her off to Georgia. We knew she was going with a good guy. And they served the Lord faithfully up there, hadn't they? I'm going to ask you something, Tori. How long have you been singing?
Since I was little.
And how old are you now?
10.
You're 10. So would you say you were 4 or 5 when you started singing, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've been singing now for about 6 years or something. And, of course, Mom and Daddy have made an album. Let me ask you this, Riley. How long have you been singing? Do you know? Help her out, Tori.
You were about 4 my age.
You were about 4? And how old are you now, Riley?
6.
You're 6. And so, are y'all going to do a duet for us?
Mm-hmm.
Gets heavy, sometimes my road gets long. The Lord is always faithful, He'll always give a song. In the midst of trouble, I know He'll send me peace. If I just call on Jesus, He'll set my mind on ease. Oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm gonna praise His name. Oh, oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm not gonna be ashamed. The devil don't like it, but I don't care. I'm gonna sing about my Jesus everywhere. I'm gonna praise the Lord. He is the rock of ages, His kingdom has no end. Closer than a mother, father, sister, brother, friend. He gave me a promise, if I live like I should, He'll take my circumstances and work them for my good. Oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm gonna praise His name. Oh, oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm not gonna be ashamed. The devil don't like it, but I don't care. I'm gonna sing about my Jesus everywhere. I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm gonna praise His name. Oh, oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord, I'm not gonna be ashamed. The devil don't like it, but I don't care. I'm gonna sing about my Jesus everywhere. I'm gonna praise the Lord. The devil don't like it, but I don't care. I'm gonna sing about my Jesus everywhere. I'm gonna praise the Lord.
And now a special with 10-year-old Tori on the keyboard and 6-year-old Riley singing a solo.
And Tori won't remember this. When she was just a little thing, in Mama's and Daddy's arms, Johnny and Sandra had been here. And, of course, Sandra, like a daughter to Gene and I. And we just took Johnny, and he, like a son, we love him in the Lord. She could search the world over, not found a better guy than Johnny, and certainly that's true of Sandra. But they were going to leave, and it was kind of an emotional moment back then, because, you know, one of the great sorrows of pastoring here is that we've continually not only had folks dying, but precious people moving away that were with us for a while. God sent people to us for a time. It was an emotional moment, and we were going to pray a blessing on them in their ministry. And we had joined arms. Jean and I and Sandra and Johnny were in a circle. And Tori was in, I think, Johnny's arms. And we were praying, and Pastor was praying a blessing. And Pastor prayed and prayed and just prayed and prayed and prayed. And directly, Tori said, "Amen." We love that family. What a joy they are. You know, we live in a world where we're just literally, every one of us, bombarded by messages. I went to the hospital to check on Sister Vivian, and we were in the room there, so there might be some here that were in that room. We were talking about texting, and I mentioned to them, you've heard me say it, that I'm the man who said I would never text, and some of you said the same thing. Many of you have joined the texting world. I popped off to them. I said, "I get many of them every day." And I said, "Today," and I pulled my phone out and counted, and it was 57 or 58 texts one day. I got more before I got home, so it crossed the 60 mark, and that's not unusual. I download them. I now have 25,000 text messages sent and received, and I haven't been texting that long. Many of you are texters today. We've texted with many folks, and it's a blessing. But would you agree that you drive down the road, there's billboards, television's constantly bombarding you with things. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, your phone rings constantly. You come home, you got messages to play. We're bombarded with messages. You know, it's so easy to let this message be ignored and overlooked. If there's any message that I want to be sure and listen to, it's this message. I want to read to you a verse that says, and it's actually in 2 Timothy 2, Paul said, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," Paul said. Don't be ashamed. "Who has saved us," in verse 9, "and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul is nearing the end of his life. This will be the last epistle that he pens. And in fact, he says in the last chapter of it, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." These are days of reflection for the great apostle. We first met him as a young man. The Bible says they cast their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul when they stoned Stephen. Later he penned such an one as Paul the Aged. And so he's become an old man. His life has passed, and he's reflecting back over the life he's lived. He's remembering, he said, "I'm appointed a preacher." He said, "I've spent my life telling people how to go to heaven." And of course, he knew he soon would be going himself. And as he thought about death, he said that God had abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so Paul was saying, "I'm not afraid of death. God's abolished death. I'll be dying soon, but I am ready to go." And then he went on to say these wonderful words. He said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, this is one of the great assurance verses of the Bible. The Bible has many wonderful assurance verses. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." If you want to read a book on assurance, 1 John is one of the great books, and the word "know" is used a lot, that we can know. You see, that's in our text, verse number 12. He said, "I know, for I know whom I have believed." We often hear that quoted, "I know in whom I have believed," but actually the text says, "I know whom I have believed." Yeah, I know him, not even a preposition between us and the Lord. And so Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." This world says you can't know. This world says you cannot know. God says that you can know that you are saved. And then he says, "I know." I want to give you this precious promise. He said this, "I am persuaded, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." There's a story, it's been around a while. I've been told and retold, and often in the telling, there are variables, variations. So I may tell this a little bit wrong, but there was an old woman. As I remember, she had not been a woman of fame or notoriety. Just a simple person, maybe not well educated. Just a good, godly Christian lady. But she loved her Bible. She spent her life memorizing her Bible. She often quoted it to her children and her grandchildren. And then she got very elderly and she was put in the nursing home. And her mind began to go. But as her mind left her and she no longer could quote all those verses, this verse stayed in her mind somehow. And they would come to her bedside and she would say this, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." She would say that to them, and it got down to where that's all she had left was that. And then that began to go. And they would come to her bedside, and she would say this, "I have committed unto him." And it got down to, "I have committed unto him." That's all she would say. And then the "I am" dropped off, and it became only "committed unto him." And that's all she had, "committed unto him." And they said that right before she died, that it got to where the only thing she had was him. And she would say, "Him, him." And you know, folks, in the end, that's all we have is him. And there is our assurance. Let's stand with heads bowed. If you don't know him, that's what all we do here is about. It's that someone might know him. And I'm going to tell you where assurance of heaven is. It's not in anything you've done or could ever do. It's in him. It's trusting him. It's opening your heart to him. It's receiving him. If you've never done that, it's so simple. You could say right now, and this is an invitation, you could say right now, silently even, he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. You could say, "Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I open my heart." Just be truthful with him. Tell him, say, "I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, I believe your gospel, that you died for me and rose again, and I open my heart and I receive you as my Savior." I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, both here and later by CD, that not a one would go to hell. And I pray that everyone would come to know him, the him in the story of the little lady that we just told about. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
I've seen the sun a-peeking through my window pane as I watched the dark clouds roll away. Oh, I had a talk with Jesus when I woke up this morning, and I know today's gonna be a brighter day. Oh, today's gonna be a brighter day. God rolled the dark clouds away. Oh, I believe Jesus surely must have heard me when I prayed, 'cause today's gonna be a brighter day. what will be tomorrow? Storms are bound to come now and then. Oh, but I have sweet assurance that God is always with me, and I'll be safe when I reach my journey's end. Oh, today's gonna be a brighter day. God rolls the dark clouds away. Well, I believe Jesus surely must have heard me when I prayed, 'cause today's gonna be a brighter day. Oh, today's gonna be a brighter day. God rolls the dark clouds away. Well, I believe Jesus surely must have heard me when I prayed, 'cause today's gonna be a brighter day. Yes, I believe Jesus surely must have heard me when I prayed, 'cause today's gonna be a brighter day.
That was Sister Rosie O'Toole doing a great job, as she always does, in presenting the message in song. Rosie has just released two brand new albums. She has many albums out, as also the Flanagans have many albums out that you've heard on today's broadcast as well. And if you'd like to have a copy of these, you can contact either of these families through our church. They are in gospel ministry, sharing the word literally around the nation. These folks travel around to other states and minister the gospel. And some of these songs are so anointed. So many of these songs they have written, the Flanagans have written, and Rosie is a songwriter as well. There seems to be a special anointing on their singing these days as they're sharing the gospel. They're born-again Christians with a testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ came into their heart and into their life and saved them. They simply want to share that wonderful good news with other people, that Christ loves us, that He died for us, that He rose again, and that He will be your personal Savior if you will simply invite Him into your heart. That is the message of the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas, and of course every gospel preaching church. And we certainly don't believe that we're the only church preaching the gospel. We know the Lord Jesus has many faithful witnesses who are out sharing His gospel every day. God has not left Himself without witness. Now, we would love to minister to you at Central Baptist Church, but frankly, there are also many other wonderful churches and wonderful gospel ministers who would be glad to talk with you and pray with you and visit with you and share the exciting news of the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what this program is about. And that's what the ministry of every church is about, and really of every Christian. Our purpose in the world is to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell how He came to this earth, how He died on an old rugged cross for our sins, and then that He rose again the third day. It's the best news that's ever been told. And it's been told millions, yes, billions of times around the world, down through history, and every week, literally millions of Christians meet after all these many years later to celebrate His resurrection. You know, we unashamedly today say that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. Well, now we'll have a commercial by Regan and Anita, and then another song by Rosie in which she says, "My Jesus, I love Thee."
Sound of a 400-piece orchestra and choir, and be blessed beyond belief by the awesome tsunami of love that will rush out of our baptistry, washing away every sin in the entire congregation.
Whoa, Regan, what are you doing?
Well, Brother Joe told us to make another commercial, and I was just trying to come up with something that had some punch to it.
Don't you think you're overdoing it a bit?
But I want to get people's attention. I know good advertising when I hear it. We can work these people up into a frenzy. I bet Brother Joe's never seen an offering like the one we're going to have this Sunday. Hey, we could even sell tickets.
Honey, you are missing the point. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what brings people to church. They don't need lights or flashy effects. And what exactly is a liturgical drill team?
Well, okay, honey, maybe you're right. Maybe we could just tell people that the gospel will be preached here, and if they want to get to know Jesus and maybe find eternal life, they could come and worship with us.
Honey, that is the most exciting news you could possibly tell anyone. You don't need anything but the Holy Spirit to get people here and get them saved.
But couldn't we just have one little animatronic angel choir?
Sometimes I wonder about you.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death. Praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Because he first loved me. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again, And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.